Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
ESPN. Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing.
I ain't letting him write.
He ain't getting no interview.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I'm not getting no interview. I know. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. Cause I make you ugly as you never drop. Swear on a rampage, bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble and dust, cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say
you better run. Yeah.
Good morning, buddy. Happy Thursday. The Masters begins today, although it has not begun yet, Jeffrey, has it?
Indeed it is not, Jeff.
9:30? Is that right now?
So we'll have the honorary
any moment
starters at, in 10 minutes, and then first tee times are at 9:30, correct?
Because I don't know if you've looked outside, people, or gone outside, but it's soggy out there, and is indeed also soggy at the Masters. And so the start time has been delayed. So Tiger is now scheduled to go off at, well, Eastern 3:54. Right? I think that's correct.
I think that's the update.
He is not going to get his round in today, right?
That he's certainly not going to complete it.
Yeah. He's not going to complete his round.
Could you tell me that they tee off? Sure. I mean, I think it's entirely possible he doesn't even tee off then. But yes, I think it seems almost impossible that he's going to finish this round today.
What are the odds that he will finish the tournament? Play all four rounds, finish the tournament, uphill, downhill, make the cut. Would you bet four or against?
I think I would bet four to finish all four rounds, because I do think he's able to make the cut just simply by knowledge and getting around the course. Physically, in terms of his swing and whatnot, he actually looks pretty good to me. The question is just, you know, does the body hold up?
That's the thing. And it's not an easy course.
And
to
so
walk.
It's like everyone's freaking out because he withdrew from the last one, but I think he withdrew from his last tournament because he had the flu. Like, that was going around in LA. Like, physically, I thought he walked fine. I mean, to me, like, that's just kind of one of those ones where it's like, can you ask me tomorrow and I'll have a better sense of when I see him walking around. But from what I've seen so far, he doesn't look like peak Tiger Woods, but he looks to me like he's good enough to compete.
So in terms of storylines, what do you like from this one? John Rahm returns as a LIV golfer.
appears to be a disgruntled LIV golfer.
Appears to be a disgruntled. He wants LIV to change.
I think I think what John Rahm, my interpretation of kind of the way he's been talking, kind of the way he's been acting is, I think he thought when he left that would shake it up and everyone would be like, we've got to finish this. We've got to do this deal.
We got to get
everybody back. And then I think he got there and realized like, oh no, they just gave me a dump truck full of cash to
go play on this.
Right. Yeah. And nothing else is happening.
Well, and let me ask you this. Does the fact of the fracture in the golf world, does it mean, oh, this is even, the majors are even more significant, which they are? Or does it mean, like, we're so disgusted with golf generally that everything becomes less significant?
I mean, I think that is the key question. I mean, I don't know if the Masters will be a good barometer, because the Masters is one of the one golf tournaments where casual sports fans will tune in and watch. But, I mean, to me, this summer, what I'm looking for is U.S. Open ratings, PGA Championship ratings, British Open ratings, because if those are down 20-30% like we've seen golf across the world, then we've got a tale as old as time. A labor dispute turned people away.
Well, it's kind of like boxing, right? Like, when you talk about what are some of the things that irritated, why is boxing no longer not only the number one or number two American sport, it's not number seven.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons is it just became unpleasant. All them fighting over money and not knowing who whatever and this
and then
that.
They put everything on pay-per-view.
Too many different championships and what. Well, that's exactly what we have here.
Correct.
So I do wonder, like, in some ways the majors are even more significant because it's a one time now. We get all the best golfers in one place. But it's also like screw golf.
Well, it's just like, why do I care whether or not Patrick Cantlay gets an extra $5 million?
Right, exactly.
Why would I care? It's
kind of... Gary Player said he recently ranked the majors in the following order in terms of the prestige and glory and importance. The Open 1, the U.S. Open 2, the PGA 3, and the Masters 4. That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I guess from the one caveat I would throw out is the Open has kind of branded itself as the world's major. And if you're from South Africa and Australia...
Let's be honest. You can argue whatever you want about the Open, the U.S. Open, and the Masters, but the PGA is four.
Correct. There's no...
I mean, it's stupid. It's stupid to put the Masters behind the PGA, right?
Yeah.
You can argue the Open versus the Masters.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, the argument for the Open would be the Masters is a very limited field. There's... about a fourth of the field has no chance of winning, and you're greatly limiting the number of capable winners. So is that champion always the best champion? Okay, no. But in terms of prestige, there's no question. I mean, my deal is if you could ask everybody out,
if you could win one,
they're all picking this.
Scottie Scheffler.
I mean, Baby Watch is a big one.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, Scotty says, you know, he's pulling the fill. If I get the call,
he's going.
To which I also want to know, well, you can't have yourself in, Scotty.
He only has one major, right?
Correct. That's the other thing. He's on this unbelievable run.
Tear, but he needs another major.
Correct. He's won the Players twice, but...
Right. And then there's the Rory story.
There's the Rory story.
What are you expecting out of Rory this week?
I'm done. I'm not done with my guy, but I'm done...
You're done having any expectations
correct.
Or hope?
At the Masters.
Really? At the Masters.
I've resigned myself that we're never winning this one. Let's just go try and win some other ones.
All right. Once again, it has been delayed. Right now, they are scheduled to tee off.
We got the chairman right now introducing the honorary starters.
And the honorary starters are?
Tom Watson, Gary Player, Jack Nicklaus.
There you go.
There's strong suspicion this might be the last time Jack does it.
So there you go. Grizzlies lost last night. And I think it's pretty clear now. I think they have... seventh from the bottom, nicely locked up.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not in fact locked up.
Magic number's one.
There's two games between Toronto, six from the bottom, and the Grizzlies, seven from the bottom. And then there's two games between the Grizzlies, seven from the bottom, and Utah, eight from the bottom. And so the Grizzlies, it appears, will head into the draft lottery. Do we know if Elliot Perry's going to go represent him again? One would hope.
I would certainly hope so.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Absolutely.
Right? You know? And did they jump up? I think then they jumped up from eight. Ja.
I think that's correct. Let me double check for you.
The Ja.
It was either 7 or 8. It was almost the same spot.
It's basically the same situation. And listen, that's if Elliott can do it once, that was a guy who would show up every single night when he was a Memphis Tiger. You could count on his reliability, his consistency, and Elliott did it once, and I see no reason why he can't vault the Grizzlies into the top of the lottery again.
So the Pelicans that year jumped up from 7, and the Grizzlies jumped up from 8.
There you go. There you go. That's what we need.
Because remember, we had to deal with the Knicks. Remember, we had to deal with the Knicks calling a conspiracy. It's like, oh, that is rich.
They took a break. Yeah. They took
a
break.
They rigged the league for New Orleans and Memphis.
They took a commercial break, and you knew you were one of three, I think. And then you came back, and the Knicks have recovered nicely from that blow. You know, the Knicks have recovered nicely from that blow. Anyway, the problem is there's no prize. If you jump up to 1 or 2, yay. Like there's going to be no scene from the Memphis ticket office of like there was in New Orleans, people exploding in joy at that lottery. What, Alex Saar? Like, what are you, I think it becomes a, you know what it does? It becomes a more juicy trade chip. But there's no particular prize if you do jump up into number one. Anyway, Grizzlies lose 110-98. Taylor Jenkins did make it pretty clear that we're done seeing Desmond Bane and Jaren Jackson Jr. for the year. Gigi had 22, although he was 2 of 10 from 3. But the real story, Jake LaRavia.
Mm-hmm.
The Jake LaRavia game, 32 points, 8 of 11 from 3. Hit his first 6, 7 rebounds. And we've said it all along. Like, Jake LaRavia has to hit threes to be a relevant NBA player. And some of it is, like, he hit threes in the G League. Some of it is adjusting. Some of it is his confidence. Some of it is all of that. So who knows? Like, you can have one night when you hit 8-11 threes and have it mean nothing. But I do think, as we look for shards of positivity in this season, this is a pretty little shard. It's barely a crumb of positivity. But Jake LaRavia becoming not negative value, you know, it would be a good thing, right?
Oh, especially when you consider, you know, if he's able to give them anything and you're in this financial crunch, he is like someone that could be on a deal that you're like, well, they're not losing money on it.
Are you saying he could be the next Luke Kennard if they got rid of Luke Kennard?
No. I seem to be a little more hesitant to get rid of Luke than everyone else.
That's a stretch. Anyway, Grizzlies lose to the Cavs, 110-98. They've got 2 games left, 1 against the Lakers and 1 against Denver.
So I posed this question yesterday. I'm curious to hear your thoughts. I posed the question of, is this the most inconsequential season of the Robert Parra era? Because to me, like, you look back on it, the playoff seasons are already for sure out. And even like the bubble season is out because that's Ja's first year. So those seasons are out. There's really, in my mind, there's only 3 options. It's this season.
Yeah.
And then it's Fizdale's, or I'm sorry, not Fizdale's first season because he made the playoffs. The second season of Fizdale where he was fired 19 games in, and then it's the next season where they played out the string, you know, finished 8th and didn't know they were getting Ja Morant. Like, those are the seasons. But
so, well, I mean, the question, of course, is what does consequential mean? Like, was the year that Fizdale fired, was that also the year when they got rid of Mark and Mike, or
so
was that
the
next
year?
The year that Fizdale was fired, where'd they finish?
They finished, I think, both years they were like 7th or 8th. So I guess the way I would say it is,
wait, the year most Fizdale was fired,
correct?
They still made the playoffs?
No. I'm sorry. Reverse standings. Oh. 7th or 8th. You know, in terms of lottery odds.
Oh, that was the. Did that lead to Jaren?
Correct.
That led to Jaren.
Correct.
That wasn't 7th or 8th because they were.
I'm sorry. I'm at 7th or 8th from the bottom.
But even then, they weren't 7th or 8th from the bottom. They were because they were high lottery.
Let's see.
Yeah, I mean, I can't remember a damn thing about that year, except for Fizdale getting fired.
Fizdale getting fired, and then that was also the year where they didn't trade Tyreek.
Right.
They did not trade Tyreek at the deadline.
I mean, what is consequential? Like, this year has been pretty... Yes, this year has been incredibly inconsequential.
Because the whole point of it is, everyone's now just going fast forward. At least in those seasons, you were trying to find, like, how could they get it back, whatnot. And so you were kind of thinking.
I guess. They were also, and then in those seasons, well, the other thing is in those seasons, there were real lottery prizes to root for. I was really invested. Like the Tyreek thing, the Jaren year, right?
Yes.
The Jaren year, there were great players in that lottery. So when they didn't, one of the reasons I was enraged that they didn't trade Tyreek wasn't just like because he was going to walk at the end of the year and you might as well get a two instead of nothing, which is just stupid.
Right.
It was that I didn't want him on the roster to be helping them win games after the trade deadline.
Correct. You didn't need the random Tyreek 35-point game.
I was deeply invested in them losing then. Now I'm just sort of casually, I guess, whatever. Like, we got to root for something. We got to have something to say about this team. And so, I mean, I think the best thing to say about this year is, hopefully, and I've said this before, you can look back literally at this time next year and say that this year was the year that vaulted them back into contention, because Vince Williams Jr., G.G. Jackson, and the lottery pick have all contributed to a team that is second in the West,
yep.
Right? So it might become consequential in retrospect, but no, it's been ridiculous.
And well, now, I think another big part of it is with all the two ways and all the rules, there's so many guys
just floating in and out.
When you're flipping on a game, and even people that watch Grizzlies games, you're like, who is that?
Who is that? And they've got no chance of ever playing.
Right.
It's not like there's some young player who you're watching develop. And if you're getting your ass kicked and it's rookie year Jaren out there, well, that's one thing.
Right.
Yeah, that's if you're getting your ass kicked, like those early Grizzlies, you're getting your ass kicked and it's rookie year Powell and rookie year Shane. And, well, that was okay because you're watching. Powell go up against Kevin Garnett, and you're saying you can think about what's going to happen someday.
Whereas this year, you're just like, let's fast forward to next year.
Even honestly, G.G. Jackson, they just did a rookie power rankings today over at ESPN. He is not mentioned until the last paragraph, other honorable mentions, other people we should mention. And so I'm just saying, I'm not saying he can't be something or won't be something, but I'm saying if you had looked at the same story of rookie power rankings in Powell and Shane's year, well, you had one was the rookie of the year and one was on the all rookie team.
Yep.
And you knew exactly what you were watching. You weren't, you know, that was the core of the team going forward. Here, well, we got to watch something, and Gigi's kind of promising. And so that's good.
It's part of the frustration that I have. It's not as if, like, I don't want Gigi to end up being this, but it feels to me that there are these, like, just staunch Gigi is the future type people, and it's like, can we please acknowledge this is not a great...
It's empty calories. It's totally empty calories. And then, well, the other thing is you have to look at the rotation next year. Let's just presume the rotation. Let's presume it's Jaren and Brandon because we don't know who the other big would be. Starting, and it's
Ja,
and it's Dez.
And Marcus Smart.
So those are your starters. Then you've got Vince Williams coming off the bench.
Yep.
You're going to have another big coming off the bench. We don't know who it will be. Right now it's Luke Kennard coming off the bench.
Yep.
Right? So there you're up to eight. And then Gigi.
Yes.
So he's your ninth guy? Like, that's not... That which is great, and maybe he will fit into that role seamlessly.
Sure.
But who have I forgotten? I've forgotten Santi Aldama.
Yeah,
9 and 10. Those guys are 9 and 10. So and maybe he plays ahead of Santi. Maybe he plays whatever. Like, we'll see. So I think the way Chris has put it is exactly right. You don't want to be counting on Gigi next year. You want to leave him the opportunity to create whatever he wants to create for himself, what he is capable of doing next year. If he is capable of coming bounding off the bench and being a really significant part of the team,
yep,
leave that door open. But you don't want to be counting on him. Anyway, Grizzlies lose last night. There was other interesting NBA. Denver beats Minnesota. Jokic 41, and it's an interesting thing because I'm going to get to the Cal stuff in a minute. By the way, it's an interesting thing because you can make an argument. So Denver beats Minnesota, and now their next two games are against San Antonio and the Grizzlies. Suggests they'll want to beat the Grizzlies, right? Suggests they will want to beat the Grizzlies. Like, you're not going to be getting, you will be getting a Denver team that is invested in winning, I believe, because and because they have no tiebreakers. Denver against Minnesota and against Oklahoma City has no tiebreakers. So if they fall to second, they might fall to third. They don't want to be third. And honestly,
well, so here's the only question, though, that I have.
This is what I'm going to say. This is what you're going to get to. Do you want to play?
Yeah.
So if you're first, you could have Golden State or the Lakers in the first round, right? And that's no picnic. And then you could
theoretically you can have Golden State Lakers, and then it's the loser of Suns King. So
right, but it could be like Golden State Lake. It could be you could be going with LeBron in the first round or Steph and Draymond in the first round. That's no picnic, right? And then the next round, you get Dallas and the Clippers. Dallas is playing as well as anybody. That's no picnic, right? And so you can make an argument that you just as soon not finish first, except you want home court advantage. And if you don't finish first, you're going to finish third.
Yeah.
Because you have no tiebreakers, you're probably not finishing second. Obviously, they've decided they wanted to win to be first, or they wouldn't have done what they did last night, right?
I guess, though, I would argue, no, I think that's
100%. They clearly want to be one.
They stated that. But I also think, to me, there's not a huge difference, though, between two and three, because, honestly, if I'm three, I think I'd rather play the Thunder than play the Suns.
Yeah, in the end, I think it comes down to home court. When I play Minnesota or whoever it is in the Western Conference Finals, I would rather have home court.
Well, and I do also think, like, we oftentimes talk about, like, during, like, the tank, when people are like, you don't want to develop a losing culture. It's like, these guys aren't going to be here. I don't care. But I do think if you're heading into the playoffs, I do think there's something to be said. We don't care who.
Like, and I also don't think they're scared of any of those teams either.
Well, anyway, they swept the Lakers.
But because they have San Antonio and the Grizzlies next, it feels like Denver has pretty much locked up number one. All right, I want to get to Calipari, which to me was the juiciest thing. Did you watch it, by the way?
So I didn't watch it live. I caught the clips, John, with just an unbelievable line. Coaches win games, administrations win championships.
That was a total shot.
When people are exactly who you think they are, it's like,
and
God, tell, it's
tell
the
people
best.
Why you think that was so genius. What was he saying with that
so
line?
Essentially,
in case some of you are missing it.
Essentially, what his big complaint is that he doesn't think he had the administrative support.
Right.
I think he thinks early on at Kentucky.
Well, and this goes back to when he said Memphis when he said Kentucky is a basketball school. That whole fight,
yep.
The reason he said that is because he wanted a new practice facility, he wanted more stuff,
yep.
And he wasn't getting the stuff. And in fact, if you read Shams's piece at The Athletic about the story of how John ended up at Arkansas, there's a lot in there about how, well, John says, you know, now they're going to go ahead and build for the next coach. They're going to build this stuff and they're going to give him, but I wasn't getting the support that I wanted. So there he is in his introductory press conference yesterday. He says, coaches win games, administrations win championships.
Yes.
And that was just a total shot at Kentucky.
Yes.
I'd say this about it. I did watch it live. Which is amazing to me that I could figure out how to. Let's be honest. Like, let's applaud.
Well,
my,
you have SEC Network.
Applaud
right?
my. Oh, I didn't know he was on SEC Network. I watched it on my phone. I just found it.
Oh, wow!
Thank you. I just found some Arkansas thing
Link.
Or YouTube.
Yeah.
Or YouTube
Whatever.
Was on.
I'm sure it was on multiple platforms.
I'd like to make a couple of comments.
Let's do it.
One is, the guy is unbelievable. He is great at that.
Public figure, 100%.
He is a unbelievable talker. And it is funny. I go back to John hating me, and which is a complete mystery, because the truth of the matter is, if you look back at the bulk of what I wrote about John, most of it was not just positive, it was fawning. Like, you know, I wrote a whole piece about the language of John and what a genius he is at talking. And I talked to someone over at the University of Memphis who's in rhetoric or whatever about why John is so effective at talking. And but he is unbelievable at that. And you could not, if you were an Arkansas fan, you could not, unless you're Chris Harrington, come away from that thinking anything other than it's on, baby. This is great. We've got the greatest coach in the history of the world. He believes in players. He puts players first. He holds them accountable, but he cares. He references everybody. He talked to Nolan yesterday. Like, everything. He's just, no one wins a press conference like John wins a press conference. He was freaking brilliant again.
No notes.
Interesting that he didn't do it as, he didn't walk out and take the microphone and talk. It was set up, which is the easier way to do it. It was set up as an interview. So he was asked questions and then he held forth. But that's easier than having to just get up and give a talk. He did actually pull out some notes because he wanted to make sure he thanked some people. But it was set up in an interview form. But he was absolutely brilliant. That's one thing. Second thing is, he did not call the Hawks.
No, it was laugh out loud funny, though. Like, that was my favorite clip.
What was the
him walking off the stage and being like, no, coach, you got to come call the Hawks. You do it.
He said, I got to go talk to these guys. John, and I wonder, will he ever call the Hawks? Like, John is, hey, he may think calling the Hawks is a little ridiculous for him, right? Is he going to call the Hawks?
We got our answer.
Some people, like me, I would be bad at calling the Hogs. I just would. Like, it's you're from Buffalo. You're from Buffalo. You went to school in Boston. You're not a Hog caller. In fact, I was a 4-H kid. Even though we raised Hogs. I still would not be convincing calling the Hogs. I'd look ridiculous calling the Hogs. I'd look like...
I'd look like Michael Dukakis.
This is a 70s reference or an 80s reference.
The tank?
I'd like Michael Dukakis driving on a tank. Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? I just look ridiculous. So, does anyone? I don't know. Some people I think are more born to call the Hogs. Who would be a good coach? Well, your current Pittman.
Pittman, a
great Hog caller. He looks like he was born to call the Hogs.
But I think you need a fat guy to do it.
Maybe you need a fat. Well, John's a little more girth than
you.
Yeah, but
he's not Sam.
Okay. But here's what I want you to do.
All right.
I want you to evaluate four things he said on the basis of their honesty.
Okay.
Okay, ready? 10 would be
God's honest truth.
10 would be God's honest truth. Okay. 10 would be literally you could take this to heaven as evidence of what a truthful fellow you are.
Okay.
Were during your life. 1 is liar, liar, pants on fire.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. He said when he met with Arkansas, when he went and met with the AD, it was purely to help him with his search and evaluate other candidates.
2. I do think he was trying to help him with the search. I think he pulled a Dick Cheney.
Do you think he went into that saying, I'm going to get this job? Do you think he went into it as a job interview?
I don't think he started talking to them until...
This idea that it was to be helping someone else is basically a lie.
My suspicion is when Arkansas struck out on Beard and Tang and they didn't have a great plan, and then one of the Tysons told Yurchech, you need to speak with Cal. My suspicion is the Tysons reached out to Cal and they said, would you take it? And my suspicion is he's like, yeah, if everything's right, I'd take it. And then when he starts getting the pitch, whatnot, that probably is like solidifying it.
All right. So we believe that's fundamentally a lie.
Yeah.
Okay. Second thing he said.
All right.
He met with him, but he really swore him to secrecy because he didn't want the news out before the national championship game because he didn't want to take away from those two teams.
I'm going to shock you here.
You're going to say...
I'm going to say like an 8.5, 9.
You believe honesty.
Yeah,
there.
Because think about that walking the dog thing. Like, I can make a case where that was a guy that's like coming to grips with, I'm not going to be the Kentucky coach anymore. Like that, because the look on his...
Interesting.
You and I know when John is doing something for show. He did not have that look on his face. You know what I mean? Like, he's very determined when he's doing something for show. That looked like a guy that was like out walking...
Why did he go do that?
I honestly believe because he thought, like, I mean, I assume
he knew TVs were out there, didn't he?
There was only one person, and it's not clear to me that it was a TV camera. It's It might have just been a phone. And I presume he's in a very secluded neighborhood, and, hey, I can go out and walk here in peace. Like,
so you think John did, in fact, not want it out?
Yeah.
Because he was still thinking about it.
Yeah.
Okay. There you go. That's good. That's a winner. All right, number three. Arkansas is a blue blood. They said there's not many places. There's not many places that are a blue blood. Kentucky's a blue blood, and there's not many places like that. But let me tell you, Arkansas is one of them.
All right, I'm going to say it's a four. I do think the Arkansas job is a very good job.
Yeah, but it's not. It's not that.
But it is
it's not a blue blood.
But then there's also the question of, like, what is a blue blood anymore? Would we have thought UConn was a blue blood?
I think the interesting thing is it's like European soccer. You can get relegated,
yes,
and you can get promoted, right?
Yes.
And so has Indiana been relegated, or is Indiana still a blue blood?
Oh, I think they're relegated.
Indiana's been relegated.
Yeah.
History says they're a blue blood.
Yes.
So the only blue bloods that are historic blue bloods that are still blue bloods are UNC.
Yep.
Duke.
And maybe,
Kentucky.
But I mean, like, with Duke, like, I am...
They're still a blue blood.
But, like, to me, there's still a question of, is it Coach K?
Yeah, they're blue blood, though. They're a blue blood. They're a blue blood. They got the number one recruiting class. They're gold on TV. They're Duke, for God's sakes. Now, maybe in 5 years, if they don't do something, you'll say it was just Coach K. They're a blue blood. You can't tell me Duke isn't a blue blood. Duke, UNC,
Kentucky.
I mean, Duke has been as good as Kentucky recently. You know, like, whatever.
Sure.
You know, and you'll certainly say Kentucky is a blue blood. Is that it?
Because
then, has UCLA been relegated?
I've relegated UCLA. I know they had the Final Four run, but also I point out COVID doesn't count.
So UCLA, the ones that would have been relegated, clearly were once the bluest of blue,
yeah,
were UCLA and Indiana.
Yes.
And you think they've both been relegated, and UConn has been promoted.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know. Would you have ever considered, like, Georgetown, Syracuse at one time? But they were
what UConn is sort of a slightly lesser, because they weren't as successful. Georgetown was very much like UConn.
Oh, we've forgotten one obvious blue blood. Kansas is still blue.
Oh, Kansas, clearly. Clearly, yeah. Kansas is still clearly a blue blood. Yeah, yep. I think that's it, though.
Yeah.
There's not, but he said very few. But so it's not an insult to say that Arkansas isn't that.
No, I actually think outside of Kentucky, I mean, I guess you can do Vanderbilt, but I think institutionally Vanderbilt's like at a crossroads. Arkansas cares as much about basketball as any other SEC program.
That's right. I think that's right. So so it's a lie. It's less true than,
yes,
than true. Okay, and then the other one, he said this. He said he interviewed at Arkansas before. This was back when he was at Memphis. They wanted him to come. And the reason he stayed was, back then, kids couldn't come with you, and I wanted to be loyal. I couldn't leave those Memphis players. Loyal? How do I look them in the eye?
So can you remind me which year was it? Was it before Derek? Because if it's Derek's coming, then I can sit there and go, hey, man, this is my role.
Well, I think it is true that he couldn't leave the players. My view would be that is a six in terms of truth.
Yeah.
Because it is true that he couldn't leave the players, but it's because they were really good players.
Right.
It was, I think it was the Derrick Rose year, but it was certainly Antonio. Like, it was
Lawrenceburg.
It was that group.
Yeah.
And so he had it on. So why would he leave those players? But is it, listen, when John left for Kentucky, you know what he did? He left players.
Yeah.
In fact, there were some players, we discussed this, Wesley Witherspoon among them, who he actually left not invite to come with him.
I mean, I think you can make the argument he's kind of he's going against his own point that Arkansas is a blue blood. Like, in the end, he chose Kentucky.
Right.
Like, Kentucky was the job. It's like, I got to go.
Yeah, I mean, and that was he did say this, which I do believe, which is that he said now there's no one, anyone can go anywhere. I forgot who he was talking about this. What do I do now? I think it was maybe to Nolan. And Nolan said, listen, the kids you're leaving at Kentucky, everyone can go everywhere. They could, if you stay, they can go. If you leave, they can go. There's no sense, but I don't believe, I don't believe it was loyalty that kept him at Memphis over Arkansas last time. It was the fact that he knew he was going to win.
Yes.
He knew he was going to win big.
Yeah, no, he knew he had one of the
you
best
teams.
You know
what, though? For John, that's a pretty high batting average of truths.
Yeah, I would agree.
And those were all the shaky untruths. Like, those are the ones that I identified as being
the most... We only had, like, one that was truly like, okay, come on.
The one about the, I only went to help them with their...
Yeah.
And then halfway through, that's what he said about halfway through, he said, you know, how about you?
No, it's...
Oh, dang! We hadn't even considered that.
It's a Dick Cheney.
Yeah.
I found the right guy for your vice president.
All right, we got Chris Harrington. Oh, I haven't even mentioned this. We've got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock, and we have Writer Than Right trivia.
Indeed we do, Jeff.
Buried the lead.
Double prize.
And a double prize in Writer Than Right trivia. What has Cindy come up with today?
We will have two tickets to the Lakers game tomorrow night, as well as four tickets to the World Championship Hot Wing Festival. That's going to be at the River Garden Park downtown on April the 20th. So I guess that's next week.
All right. In the second hour, you can play Writer Than Right. You can try to beat Jeffrey. Good luck with that. Or just play honorably, and you can win that double prize. We've been telling you about Leaders Credit Union. Leaders Credit Union. I drove by the outlet in Bartlett. Here's the truth: the technology is so fabulous. They have, I don't think, more outlets, like more places where you can use, you know, more ATMs, more places than the Bank of America. You know, like, because you can use it anywhere. Like, you can access Leaders anywhere, and their online technology is unbelievable because it exists purely for the benefit of its members. I can't tell you what a difference that makes. Your bank irritates you for some reason or another reason. Leaders Credit Union. Claire, my new bride, is signing up at Leaders Credit Union. We put our money where our mouth is. Leaders, because they exist for the benefit of their members, their technology is better, their service is better, their rates are better. To learn more, go to leaderscu.com/ESPN, leaderscu.com/ESPN. Got to take a break. Back in a moment. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station. The Gabe Kuhn Show afternoons.
It's Gabe Kuhn from 92.9's Gabe Kuhn Show. And 92.9 FM ESPN is a proud radio partner for the 2024 Memphis Touchdown Club Speaker Series benefiting Le Bonheur Children's Hospital. Starting with Paul Feinbaum, our guest speaker, on April 29th at the Hilton Memphis. Get your tickets now online at 92.9ESPN.com or go to MemphisTouchdownClub.com. The 2024 Memphis Touchdown Club Speaker Series for Le Bonheur with 92.9 FM ESPN.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're going to feel a puff of air.
Zhong's Optometry has set their sights on staffing up.
Try the next line. Hey, Kim, can you tell our 2 o'clock we're running 15 behind? Sorry, we're a bit backed up today.
He needs an optometric technician to keep an eye on it all.
Where are the dilation drops?
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from your employer dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Your window into affordable luxury is Pella Windows and Doors of Memphis.
At Pella, we offer quality replacement windows at any budget.
Can't believe the price of my new windows. They were so affordable.
If I knew I could afford windows and doors as gorgeous as these, I would have chosen Pella Windows and Doors in Memphis years ago.
Right now, save 25% on your entire project or get 50% off installation.
The highest quality, the greatest value.
Choose Pella Windows and Doors of Memphis, your window into affordable luxury.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle, unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. With ZipRecruiter, one click sends your job to hundreds of top job sites. But more than that, ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies the candidates with the skills you need, sends you a list of great matches to review, then actively invites them to apply for your job. And the results speak for themselves. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. That's right, the first day. Now you can focus on your business and let ZipRecruiter do the work finding the best people for you. See for yourself. Experience the ease, efficiency, and power of ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/radio. That's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, Kathy, you know, I've been seeing those State Farm commercials. You guys have built quite a team. Mahomes, Kelsey, Derrick Henry.
Bundleman Auto and Mahomes.
Oh, yeah.
Steve, we're proud of that team, and I'm proud of my team.
Your team is awesome. I know firsthand. If there's a question or problem, they're on top of it.
My name is on the sign outside, but it's my talented team inside that makes the difference.
Hey, call Kathy Thurman Edwards, State Farm agent on Brookhaven Circle.
901-767-7744. I'm not as cute as Jake, but I'm better looking than a lizard.
Whoa, Howie, that's a lot of diamonds. What's going on?
We're about to launch the biggest natural loose diamond event we've had in the history of Robert Irwin Jewelers.
Any shape, any size?
Yes, natural loose diamonds for any budget. Plus, get a free men's wedding band with every natural loose diamond purchase. 0% interest for up to 5 years. See a store for complete details.
It's the biggest natural loose diamond and bridal event this weekend at the South Lake Center location in South Haven.
Robert Irwin Jewelers. Home of the meant-to-be guarantee, upgrades are welcome.
Hey, you. Day's warming up. Looking like spring. And at New Balance Memphis, we've got the thing. What pops and what's fresh? Check the selects. Come together at New Balance Memphis at Poplar and 240 across from Cadillac of Memphis. New Balance Memphis. We got now.
Jeff's guests appear on the Frame Corner phone lines. Frame Corner, with expert custom and do-it-yourself framing since 1975 on Park Avenue in East Memphis. Now, back to the Jeff Calkins Show, live from the Genesis Memphis Covington Pike Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
If you're one of the folks who struggles with gambling, and about 5% of the folks who do gamble do, the Gambling Clinic is there at the University of Memphis. They have been there since 1999. I've helped hundreds of people. They're not anti-gambling, but they understand that about 5% of the people who do gamble it'll influence their finances. It'll influence their relationships. It can be really debilitating. So if that's you or someone you love, get in touch with the folks from the Gambling Clinic. Set up confidential appointments to work with someone who's an expert in gambling addiction. You can learn more at the Gambling Clinic. com. It's been pointed out to me that I missed John. Another fib. I don't recall hearing this, but he may have said it. I don't dispute he said it. He said, "I don't cuss," in reference to his players, which is ridiculous. That would be ridiculous. That would be a 10. That would be a 10.
Mm-hmm. One.
That would be a 1. Yeah, I'm sorry. That would be a 1. All right. We do have breaking news, and the breaking news is from the it's on X or Twitter, from the OJ Simpson handle. his Twitter feed, his Twitter whatever, and it says this: on April 10th, our father, Orenthal James Simpson, succumbed to his battle with cancer. He was surrounded by his children and grandchildren. During this time of transition, his family asks that you please respect their wishes for privacy and grace, the Simpson family. So there you go. O.J. Simpson is no longer with us. And I'm sure there will be burning in hell jokes or whatever, right? I think he murdered people, you know? And he was the guy for me growing up. Like that 72 Bills team was the 72 team, wasn't it? That was the 72 team
when he rushed for 2000.
When he rushed for 2000. Look that up. I think that's true. I would have been 11. You know, we talk about the sweet spot of being a sports fan. And was it 73? And it's funny because the 72-73 Tigers are such the big Tigers that that's the now the year that sticks in my mind. They merged together. I would have been 11. And
73.
First game against the New England Patriots, broke off like an 80-yard run. I was there for the game. The last game, of course, was against the Jets where he broke 2,000. That was at Shea. But the game that really set that up was the previous week, week 13. That was a 14-week season. Week 13, when they played the Patriots in Buffalo and in an incredible blizzard. And my dad took me to that game. And, like, watching O.J. run, he was unbelievable. Because he had this sort of Eric Dickerson-like speed, right? But he was not quite Sayers in elusiveness, but unbelievably elusive as well. He certainly wasn't Barry Sanders in elusiveness, but he was slippery and fast as hell. Like, he was just an unbelievable running back. And then he became a crossover American icon.
Yes.
A movie star, commercial pitch man.
I mean, he had to have
it. Monday Night Football. He was on Monday Night Football.
Like one of the highest Q ratings.
Yeah. Everyone loved O.J. Simpson.
Hertz commercials.
And then we had the trial of the frickin' century. If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
If the glove don't fit, you must acquit.
And, like, where were you then during the trial?
So, it's 94, correct? I just remember coming...
You were too young.
I was, like, kindergarten, but I do remember, like, my parents, like, I remember my mom... I think I came in from, like, school or kindergarten, maybe, and my mom was watching, like, the...
I was covering a Marlins game. I was the beat writer for the Marlins when there was the chase, such as it was, the
low-speed chase.
The low-speed chase with Al Cowlings driving O.J. Simpson. And I remembered at the time, and maybe this is bad, as a Bills fan and an O.J. Simpson fan, but someone who really thought it was abundantly clear that O.J. had done it, I wanted him to kill himself.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted. I wanted him to kill himself and just put everyone out of their misery.
Yeah.
It seemed to me that it would have been the better way to go. And then he has the trial and he's acquitted and the civil trial. He was, of course, found liable for the murders.
In the book, if I had done it,
if I had done any profit,
if I did it,
or whatever else, and then he became this pariah living on the outskirts of society, but trying to sound like the cheerful O.J. Simpson on Twitter and X. Like, he'd pop up with these sort of jarringly, he'd give you his picks on games. His most recent tweet was a video just before the Super Bowl in which he picked the 49ers to win.
I have it if you want.
You have that one too?
I have both.
But then he had this is his pre-Super Bowl pick. Is that a Brock Purdy jersey? Did Purdy wear 19?
Purdy was 13. 19, I think, is Debo.
19 is Debo?
Yeah.
Well, all right, here we go. This is the last we heard from O.J. Simpson.
Hey, X-World, it's me, yours truly. Boy, what a beautiful day it is here in Las Vegas. Even though the game is indoors, it wouldn't have mattered, but still, it's nice to have a beautiful day like this. Hey, let me take a moment to say thank you to all the people who've reached out to me. My health is good. I mean, obviously, I'm dealing with some issues, but hey, I think I'm just about over it, and I'll be back on that golf course, hopefully, in a couple of weeks. But it was very nice hearing from you and hearing those good, positive words. Thank you. Now, as far as the game goes, obviously, my prediction is not hope. I'm basing it on who's on the field. I see a 24-20 win by the 49ers. And that, as I said, that's not hope. I'm basing that on the quality of the players that are on the football field. So who's going to be MVP? Purdy, or McCaffrey. Of course, if KC wins, it'll probably be Mahomes. But I'm predicting number 19. And I'm not talking about Johnny Unitas. In any event, well, we got a few more hours and we'll know. Please, I hope you're with friends, the ones who are not going to the game. And, hey, just it should be a great game because all the great players that are involved. Hey, God bless. Take care. And I hope your team win if that your team is the 49ers. God bless. Take care.
So there was that one. And then just before that, he had, because there'd been a report that he was in hospice.
Yes.
And so he responded to that report with this video.
Hey, X-World. Hospice? You talking about hospice? No, I'm not in any hospice. I don't know who put that out there, but whoever put that out there, I guess it's like the Donald say, can't trust the media. In any event, I'm hosting a ton of friends for the Super Bowl here in Las Vegas. All is well, you know? So, hey, guys, take care. Have a good Super Bowl weekend.
So there you go, O.J. Simpson.
One of the conflicts that I'd had the last couple of years, he really was a good Twitter follow. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so you're sitting there the whole time, you're like...
I did not follow him.
No, like, he would give, like, really sound advice. Remember when all the running backs were holding out? He's like, you need to take whatever they're offering. Like, he was just like... And then he's, you know, he'd update us on his fantasy team. He'd give us updates on, like... He still had the analyst gene. Is this a guilty pleasure? Like, I don't know. It's like, I liked the Juice's Twitter feed, and it's like, I know I shouldn't.
It is weird when the, when my all-time sports hero is a double murderer. I mean, that becomes, that becomes a little bit difficult. And so there you go. And by the way, who gets away with it? You know? That becomes, anyway, there you go. OJ, dead at, how old was OJ?
73, I believe.
Dead at 73.
I'm sorry, 76.
76. To wrap up the Cal stuff, we do have to now figure out who's going to be the new coach at Kentucky. And we had plane following yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
We had plane following yesterday.
Nobody does it better than the SEC.
We had Scott Drew seen having lunch with a booster in Waco. But we had his family flying to Lexington, or members of his family flying to Lexington and flying back on a private plane. So it's very clearly in Scott Drew's court. What is happening, Jeffrey? What's your analysis?
So the reports that you read last night were, I think it was kind of setting up it was a lot of he's struggling with the decision. You know,
it's just trying to create the struggle?
Yeah, kind of. To me, it reads like I don't want to do this. I'm going to go do this. It's Kentucky.
I mean, it's clearly, he's going. You think he's going?
Yeah.
Why? What's the point of that stupid picture at the lunch?
I think, honestly, because you and I talked about this, how I think you kind of zone in on Scott Drew because everyone else had started very publicly
Right,
I think he was taking credit because, like, there was nothing coming out of Waco. And so it's like, hey, here I am.
Yeah, but if you're going, why do you do that? Like, if you're going, why do you do the here I am? Why not just if you're going, why do you do that? And if you're staying, why do you do that? But if you're going, there's no need to give people the false impression that you're staying.
I mean, I guess you
could still be negotiating with Kentucky.
I was going to say the argument is every negotiation can end.
Every negotiation can end, and you could be expressing to Kentucky, listen, you better sweeten the deal because here I am in Waco, and I'm still here having lunch in Waco.
Yeah.
I found it a little weird. If you know you're the guy, I'd feel a little disingenuous putting out a tweet of a cheerful life is normal tweet with me at a Mexican place in Waco. That would feel disingenuous to me.
But I mean, I think that's kind of what we've seen in this world.
What would be the most fun now?
Oh, the most fun is Rick Pitino.
No, well, yeah, the most fun would be you right now. You do need Scott Drew to turn this down.
Yes.
That would be the most fun.
Yeah. And
I mean, just from a spectator perspective.
Well, I think you need...
A, it would be fun because we could enjoy the misery of Kentucky fans then. Cal's left them. Scott Drew has turned them down. We know he's now been offered, so it's turned them down. And so then the next fun, I think clearly Pitino coming back would be great fun.
Correct. I guess I would
Bruce Pearl would be fun too.
I think you could also make the argument if Donovan's really out of it, watching them just go through, you could make the argument, like just watching them
have to go through a freaking search where no one wants the job.
Correct. It's not that no one wants the job. No one they want
I'll
wants
tell you
the
what,
job.
If I'm Scott Drew and I see, I have some hesitance about, John is such a master.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You think he's going to win big there?
I mean, every coach other than Gillespie's made the Final Four. So do I think he would win big there?
Because he can't. I know John is coming off a run where he has not been nearly as successful. I know you reach a point with John when you get tired of his BS, right?
Yeah.
But the truth of the matter is most Kentucky fans.
The building was full.
The building was full. They only now they're tired of the BS. Like my view of what's going to happen with Kentucky fans is that in 5 years, they will look back at the John Calipari era, and 10 years, with gratitude and not the bitterness that Memphis fans have towards John Calipari. They will look back fondly at the John Calipari era. And when he first made that little video, I think mostly they were like, we love you, Cal, you know, whatever else. You're right. It's time to end, but we love you. This has been great. Then in the next 48 hours, you're going to see a backlash from Kentucky fans. Because, A, you hear him saying the things that he's saying during his press conference that are the same lines he used on you, and you're like, oh, my God, he says that same stuff to everybody, you know? And then you're going to see him taking your players. And so then there's going to be a backlash against John Calipari. Among approval rating among Kentucky faithful. And then ultimately they're going to come and they're going to love him again.
Well, I mean,
five to 10 years.
I actually think the most interesting question for Kentucky moving forward is, will they inevitably miss him?
They will miss him. Because Scott Drew is not the personality that... Now, mind you, he still recruits lottery picks.
Mm-hmm.
You know? He's got.
I mean, I guess my whole deal with Scott Drew is... Yes, he took over.
He's not larger than life, though. He's not larger than life.
Well, I think my bigger deal is, like, he took over an impossible situation. Like, the whole Bliss scandal.
Right.
Like, that is...
And if he can do that, he can certainly do this.
Right.
Is that what you're saying?
But at the same time, it's like, I think Baylor's a really good job. It's a private school with a lot of money and wants to win in sports. Like, it's a good job. Like,
and without the expectations.
Right. You know, if he gets bounced in the round of 32, no one really cares.
Right. I think they'll miss John. I think they will ultimately miss John.
Now, Rothstein's now saying Scott Drew is going to stay.
Oh, my God.
Now.
Oh, my God. This is great.
I mean, that's step one.
This is great. This is fantastic.
That is step one.
Now you need Billy Donovan to say no.
Uh-huh. And you have to, well, you need Kentucky to sit there and go, we're not going to wait on him.
Right. Because Billy Donovan, they're in the play-in.
Correct.
Bulls are in the play-in.
Yeah, Norlander's saying it too.
Scott Drew's staying. Okay. This is magnificent.
Step one.
So what happens? If Donovan stays, or they're not going to wait on him, who's next?
I mean, here's the real question.
You flew the family to Lexington,
so
they said, nah, Waco's better.
What you will inevitably see is oftentimes when schools get turned down like this, they will reach a point where they'll sit there and go,
Josh Pastner. Josh Pastner's the dude.
Well, I think Memphis is a little different situation.
No, I'm just kidding.
But like, to me, it's like Kentucky will have one of two options. It's either underwhelming hire, what we saw with Louisville and Pat Kelsey, and I'm very clear on this. Pat Kelsey could wind up being an awesome hire for Louisville. But there's no way in the world like that was the plan. Now, schools either go one of two ways. It's like, all right, let's go get the best coach we can get, and screw if we don't win the press conference. We'll win, and we'll win them over that way. Schools either do that, or schools go, we literally need $15 million a year, and we are going to just take this Brinks truck, and we are going to make someone say no.
But who's the someone?
I mean, is it Hurley? I mean, I don't know. Like,
no, UK's not doing it.
I don't think it is, but like at a certain point, would you not agree? Everyone has some number. Now the question is that number possible?
Oh, this is so good.
I mean, we're about to see if Kentucky, like,
this is so good.
Like, how desperate can you get? I mean, then
if it's not Donovan, do you think Patino's realistic?
No, I do not.
No.
I don't.
I would love that. That would be the most
Richard
fun. How about Bruce Pearl?
I think Pearl is realistic, but at the same time, like, I don't know, how much loyalty does Pearl have to Auburn? Auburn gave him a shot. Auburn's given him Auburn's kind of in the same boat that we're talking about with Scott Drew. It's like,
why did Chris Beard say no, by the way?
To Arkansas?
Yeah.
I think in the...
Was it that loyalty? Was it that I can't do this to Ole Miss?
So the skeptic in me says, all right, I can't do this after 1 year.
Right.
They're gonna pony up. Like they've given me what I've asked for them. I have some loyalty, and I also have my eyes on another job.
All of a sudden, this day has become popping with the passing.
Go Cats!
With the passing of O.J. Simpson and with Scott Drew staying in Baylor. In addition to all that, yesterday
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.